Alrighty. So I had one person come up and ask me a question. How did you guys go out in your 5 minute break? Did you talk about tea and coffee or did you continue on with your conversations about that session? Yep, what?
That session, sorry.
Yep, that's a great response. Thank you.
Yep,
what, Gina?
Oh, we just websites and stuff like that as well that we've got up and how they're working and things like that.
So what's the mother of all problems? So guess what? I'm going to ask you guys, what's the mother of all money problems?
Education.
We get called upon to make
financial decisions
almost every day, and we just haven't even thought about it because it's just normal. We just accept that we will find out in the future. And nobody wants to mess up their finances, but we are all in the situation. We are making decisions, trying really hard to get it right all the time, but we don't know what right is until we get there. Which leads me to my very next slide. If this would just wake up. Who are the Doctor Who freaks in the room? Or should I say Doctor Who fans? The old Doctor Who. Yeah. We all grew up with our own Doctor Who, I know. What I grew up with was a long way before yours. So what's the amazing thing about the TARDIS? Bigger on the inside than the outside. Guess what, guys? If you are in business, you need to be like the TARDIS, because you need to be bigger on the inside of your head than on the outside. Because when you start business, you start finding out things about yourself that you would never have learned as a wage earner. Because a wage earner, you go to work, you go home, you go to work, you go home, you do what you're told, you're just like a pussycat, you just do what you're told, maybe you think a little bit. And then you go into business, and all of a sudden you live and die by your excitement, your enthusiasm, your ideas, your tenacity, your problem solving ability. You've got to be dynamic. And you start to find, you know, I've gone so far, but now I'm not sure how to go further. And you need to get on the blower with other people that you've met here and talk to, get people to sort of give you ideas how to break through that. And it's a whole new ball game. And some of you have discovered that it's not as easy as you'd thought, not as easy as you'd hoped. But tenacity. What's tenacity? Never give up. Have you seen the picture of the stork with the frog halfway down his neck and the frog's got hold of his neck so he can't swallow him, and he's halfway down and he's going, I'm not giving up. He's halfway down the stork's throat, but he's not giving up. What is it that will give you the tenacity to never give up?
Belief.
G-E. Get excited. Isn't that where we started today? You've got to be excited. If you aren't excited, how are you going to be tenacious? How are you going to, doesn't matter what happens, I'm going to go through it, round it, over it, under it, I'm going to find a solution.
I heard another video
today.
When entrepreneurs are afraid to go out for the island, as long as we know that there's boats, everyone goes back and forth, burn the boats.
Yep.
Go out to the island and burn the boats, because if you live and die by what you do, you're going to succeed. If you never give up.
Speedo swimming suits are always good for swimming.
Yeah, they're not
swimming. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, like this is a whole new ball game for some of you guys. Your own business, wow. You can prosper, but you're going to have to deal with problems. And the problems could be all sorts of things. It could be that you've never actually had the confidence to stand up in front of a room full of people and speak before. You've never had to make a flyer or a website or anything like that before. Not that that's what we want you to do, because what do we want you to do? Go and get
happy paying
customers. You'll remember that, don't you? GE and HPC, they're the acronyms. Get excited, get happy paying customers. All right, so imagine having a time machine. We've got this mother of all money problems. I want to make some decisions, I have to make some decisions, and you know, I don't know whether I should stay and pay or whether I should walk away. Kind of rhymes, doesn't it? Stay and pay, walk away. I don't want to stuff up, but you know what? I've got to make a decision one way or the other. I can tell you there are times when I've walked away and regretted it, and there are times when I've stayed and paid and I've regretted it. And how amazingly different would it have been if I had a time machine and I could see the future. So, after budgeting, where did that word come from? Well, maybe budgeting perfectly. The whole year would having your bank statements in advance for the next year, that this is the perfect journey. If you could get in a time machine, zap yourself into the future after having managed your finances perfectly for a whole year, and here you are, oh well, I've just done perfect, here's my bank statements, get back in the time machine and come back to today, and here you are with your bank statements before they happen. And that'd be a handy little one to use on your potential customers, wouldn't it? You think they'd go, oh wow, I never thought of that, that's a great idea. You write it down, huh? My mother always said a blunt pencil is better than a sharp memory. It's true. So, I'm going to pull up our new software and we're going to have a look at how that fits into what I've been talking about. You all okay with that? But I need to have some metho first. So I've just logged into John Citizen, I think. Now you guys all know that up in the right hand corner here, after you've logged in, oh yeah, that would help, wouldn't it? I might need to. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. That's more better. Up in the right hand corner you've got your settings and your sign out. You've also got your settings over here, same. When you click on settings, if you haven't been here for a while, there is now a change password button and there is a rebuild spending plan button. If ever there's weird stuff in your plan that doesn't look like it should be there, just go and press that button. In fact, Nick will be here at the next session because we're going to have a Q&A session about the software. So the whole time during this session, you should be writing down any questions or things that you don't understand or that you want more information about. If you've got ideas for things that you'd like us to put in, write them down, because the man that writes the software is going to be here at the end of this session, written to the next one. I said to him yesterday, I reckon we should make that button work at the end of everything we do, just to make sure nothing needs to be cleaned out. Okay, so that will basically go through, remove everything and start again. I just wanted to show you that. Yep.
What do you mean all your data you entered or what?
No, not all the data you've entered. The data in your plan. It just rebuilds it. It takes all the stuff that you've put in and says, let's wipe out the future and create a new one. Because what happened was we had people who were deleting accounts that had transactions going into them, and suddenly there was all of these accounts, these transactions that were left behind that you couldn't get rid of. And weird stuff like that. We never ever anticipated what some people were going to do. So we So that button kind of fixes, you can fix your own problem. Okay?
So sorry, does that mean that anything like any accounts that you've got in there, any transactions that you put in there are all going to be gone?
If you go into your spending plan for any account and you see a transaction and you go, where did that come from? I got rid of that last week. And you go back to your list and yep, it's not there, but it's in the plan, just go and rebuild it.
Okay.
It'll get rid of it. Okay?
So it doesn't get rid of everything, it just gets rid of stuff that should be
there. It gets rid of what the generated plan, it doesn't get rid of the information that creates the plan. So all your data that you enter is safe.
So it's rebooting your plan, refreshing your willing.
You're just refreshing the plan, yep.
Okay.
And vacuuming out all the rubbish.
Okay. Yep.
Doesn't change anything at all, it just removes any rubbish. Transactions that I've learned to call them orphan transactions because they exist but they don't have a parent that creates them. So, what's the journey that you take your customers on? Tony is going to talk to you about the whole process of signing customers up, I think in the session later on today. But let's just, after you've signed up a client, first few emails is about getting to know their situation and sort of setting the rules and the guidelines, but then you start them on their journey, and the first thing is what?
Setting them up for
introduce them to the software. So the first thing is you say, we need these bank accounts. Hey, while you're doing that, here's access to the software. I've created an account for you, and I want you to log in, have a look around, and name some accounts. Put some names on your bank accounts. And really, the whole reason we're doing that is just to get them to log in and have a look around. I mean, they need to name the accounts, but surely they could do that in 5 minutes later on. But this is just getting them familiar. Hey, this is where I go. This is, I'm getting this for my money. This is like WOW experience. One thing I should have mentioned while we're up here on the settings, by the way, did you all see the green button? A couple of people have actually clicked on that and put in their credit card details. Don't do that. That's what you're going to do for all your customers as soon as I say go. But until I say go, just hold off. But behind every one of those buttons, you've all got a unique code that I've put in that's just for you. So when you click on that button and put in your customer's details and their credit card number and say you're going to get charged $10 a month starting next month, that button anchors you to those payments and will guarantee you get the 30% commission. Okay? But don't click on it yet because it's not all finished, but it's getting close. Are you happy about that? Just go and sign up 1,000 customers, woohoo, $3,000 a month. Now, let's have a customer experience. If you want a name, see, here's all of the accounts. I've created a brand new account. There's no data, no nothing. If I want to name my accounts, where do I have to go? The accounts list. And if I click on this one, what happens? It's different than it used to be, isn't it? It's much better because it just pops up a little screen like that. I give it a name. Whoops. You can put a bank name in there. Let's call it the ASV Bank, and it's got an account number that ends in 4567. You know what the display frequency is all about? I've got this one set to 2 weekly, and that's because that's how often my suspect that I'm going to do, my demonstration person, gets paid. Most likely their pay cycle, the biggest pay, is the cycle you would set there on your bills account. Starts today, start balance is zero for the purpose of the demonstration. Minimum balance, it really doesn't what you put in there at the moment. Later on, that will actually put something on the graph and it will bring up a warning if you're going to go below that. Wait for it, and now it's called the bills account. Savings account, I'm going to call that. What do you reckon? What do every one of your clients got to have for their weekly? What's it stand for? I like to start with food, fuel, fun, incidentals. And what do you recommend to your clients? Once this is all set up, what day of the week, what day do they set it up on? Like the first deposit goes in on what day?
The day after they get
paid. Well, yeah, the day after or the day they get paid. If they get paid monthly and they're setting this up as a weekly payment, try and make it so that it falls on a payday, or, you know, don't make it fall just before payday. That just makes it harder for them. Because it'll say, oh, you can't afford this. And if you move it one day so that it falls on the other side of payday, it can change everything. That makes sense, doesn't it? Because this is what you guys get paid the big bucks for. To look at it and go, you know what, if we move that and do that and do this, that'll all come good. And how do you get to know all that stuff? You listen to me and you do your own and you experiment. You should be in here playing with this all the time. Okay. What's the date today? 14th. Sometimes it gets it right and sometimes it doesn't. Let's see what happens. Nick will be here later. We can ask him what's the... Oh, that was... Okay, we're all good. So now I want to put in a transaction. And the way this all began was my mortgage. How many of you... You know my mortgage, don't you? So how much was my mortgage every month? Let's make it easy. It wasn't, but it was pretty close to $1,000. So add a new transaction, give it a description. Sorry, we don't pick the account because it does that for us. Whoops. That happens to me all the time. Is it an expense? Yes, it is. How much is it? $1,000 will make it, just to make it easy. How often does it happen? Monthly. I call it accommodation, you could call it finance, you could call it a few different things, it doesn't really matter. First date due, I'm going to put it on the 3rd of February. And you know, if you click on the calendar here, it goes to month, and once you've clicked the month, you can then click the day of the month. And if you click it again, it actually goes to year, you can actually click and choose a year. As soon as you click the year, you can click the month, you can click the day. So you shouldn't have to type in a date for something that's like up in the future. Last date, what's that all about?
If there is a date.
Is that the final date or the last
date? It's the date of the last payment. Because if you put it on the date of the last payment, it actually won't
correct that. The last time it's paid.
Yep, so this is going to be like 20 years in the future. So for most people, they won't bother to put a last date on their mortgage because it's so far off. Yep. Yep. So car loan, the car's nearly paid off, 6 payments to go, something like that. Last date. Great. Okay, now remember, earlier in one of my slides it said, it's not about income. It's not about income. I just put in an expense, now I'm going to go and have a look at the plan. And you're going, huh? Why would you do that? I put in the expenses and find out what the income needs to be. So that looks like a pretty dismal next year. I'm going to get turfed out of my house somewhere around about here, I would think. Because I'm going to end up how far in debt? Oh, actually, the 12,000 one has just gone off the end of my calendar. Because it will only generate 12 months worth of transactions. If you put your start date 6 months in the future, it will actually do 12 months of them. Just if ever you see, like on the end of your graph, there's like all of these weird ones that seem to be just lonely, go and have a look what that transaction is by scrolling down to the bottom. And if it says groceries, you know if you go back to the start, there's no groceries for the first 6 months or whatever. Go and check the start date on your groceries, you've got it wrong. Make sense? Don't mind if it doesn't make sense. Okay. So now, look at this. It tells me I've got total income of zero. I know that. No transfers. Total expenses of 12 grand. I've got a $12,000 shortfall. Over here it says I've got zero income. I knew that. It tells me I've got $461.54 worth of fortnightly expense. Lowest balance is a year from now, or a year from the payment, first payment, the last payment date. $12,000 in the red. I've got a shortfall. So how much am I going to put in as the income to balance this out? So I'm going to click on transactions. I'm going to add a new transaction. Wait for it. And I'm going to call it wages maybe. And is it an expense? No, it's an income. How much? $461.54. Why would I put in $461.54 when my income is more than that? I heard some people speak, but I didn't get any clarity on any of it. That's all I need to put in to make this work. And I actually want to know how much of my money is spare to do other stuff with. As I add more expenses, I'll increase the deposit. What I'm really trying to find out is, where's the line between surplus and shortfall? If I put all my income in there, if I put $1,000 a week, it would show me at the end of the year I've got $40,000 in the bank. Was that too quick for anybody? 12 from 52 is 40. And I know that's not going to happen because I'm going to buy groceries, I'm going to go and buy a magazine at the newsagent, I'll buy my wife a coffee, and all this stuff's going to happen. What's the point of projecting the future based on what I earn when I know there's other stuff's going to happen? And you know how we said the mother of all problems with money is not knowing whether you should or shouldn't buy something. The only way you can know whether you should go shopping or not is to know your magic number for today, tomorrow, the next day, the next day, and the next day. And the way to find your magic number is to just put in exactly the right amount of money to get from today to today next year with the same amount of money. Not 1 cent more and not 1 cent less. Is that making sense? All right. So what happens to the rest of the money? Hi, Nick, pick up and pull up a chair, mate. Can't see. What happens to the rest of the money? You could choose to assign it to something else. And if you've got a client, or if you yourself, it says to you, you've got $1,000 a week spare, and you go, oh, cool, I'm going to end up with 100 grand in my bank account at the end of the year. Is that going to help you? How is that going to help if you look at that spending plan and it says you've got $1,000 surplus? And you go, oh, I feel really good about that. And look, here's all of these projections that take me to $50,000 in the bank at the end of the year. How's that going to help you?
Because you know how much you can allocate in savings.
Well, I didn't quite get the drift of what you're saying, but I think you're on the right track.
If someone's saving for a deposit for a house, I don't know how much is there, and then they can work out what they're actually going to go to.
See, if your graph says this is the line that you must not go below, and if you do, make sure you get back above the line quickly or you could be in trouble. And if it says, look, you've got $1,000 surplus income, and that's going into that bank account, you'll check your balance on your first payday and it'll say you've got $1,000 too much when you compare your bank balance with your plan. The week later you'll check and you've got $2,000 more in your account than what your plan says needs to be there. What are you going to do with that surplus money? Are you going to be, I'm never going to spend another cent again? Or are you going to accidentally go shopping? You'll go. So what, you know, you need to draw a line and go, you know what, and I look at people and you have conversations with them and they're putting in all their expenses and you see their income. If they're on like 40 grand a year and they've got $100 a week surplus, you kind of go, they're going to blow that. And I would go, you know what, you've got $100 surplus on 40 grand a year, that's amazing. Why don't we do something smart with that? If they're on 200 grand a year, $100 a week might be, you know, you'd leave, that's because they're going to spend that because they're big earners, they're big spenders. So it's kind of proportional. You need to leave it so that they've got a little bit that hasn't been used up somewhere, but you've used up enough of it that they're not going to just blow money that they could have used. It's up to them, but it's your job to sort of coach them towards that position. So they're 100 grand a year, they've got expenses of 60 grand a year. It tells them that there's 40 grand surplus. You would suggest to them, okay, have you thought about what's going to happen with that money? Could we put it into putting up some money aside for the next car, the next washing machine, the next refrigerator, blah, 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 blah. What are the goals? You know, have you got kids that you want to send off to university? And basically earmark that money for things so that when it all boils down, there's only like $20 or $30 a week that's not been earmarked. So after the first pay and they check, there's $30 more in there than what the plan says. The next week they check, there's $60 more than what the plan said. You know, they're going to go to the movies or do something. They'll spend a little bit. So long as they, where should you be and where are you? You just don't want too much money to just vaporise, is what I'm trying to say. Am I making sense?
Yep.
Move on. Okay. How often? I got paid 2 weekly. Category, I'm going to call this wages, and oops, 18th of January was the date that I chose when I did my lesson plan. Righto, let's have a look and see what it says. Okay, what did I just discover? It says to me here that I've got a zero shortfall, I've got no surplus and no shortfall, so this is balanced. I'm putting in $12,000 and I'm taking out $12,000. It's perfect, but it's not perfect. And this is what spending planning is all about, isn't it? Because you guys turn on the crystal ball and people can see, oh yeah, I put in two lots of 461 and I'm 70-something dollars short. And it happens the next month and the next month and the next month and until I finally get a three-pay month, and then I don't miss that payment. And then I go down, and finally at the end of the year, I end up back at zero. I started at zero, I ended at zero. It's perfectly balanced, but it's not going to work. So what are the solutions, spending planners?
Starting notes.
Do what I did. I'd actually borrowed $1,000 more on this mortgage that caused me to realise this than what I needed to build the house. I was going to put a garden shed in the backyard and some plants in the garden and blah, blah, blah. And I had to put 350 or three, whatever it says the shortfall was there. 406, oh, it's actually, the lowest balance is 461. So I had to put basically one fortnight's pay in the account to kick it off. So I wouldn't go out the back door on the worst day of the year. I did not like that, but it was the turning point in my life. Because it was like, never have to stress about the mortgage payments again. So, what happened next? I had this bank account, I put $461 in there, I rang the paymaster and says, please put in $461 every pay. I rang the bank and said, please take my payments out of that account. And I went, mortgage is safe. We just got to live on what's left. And then I realised that the problem that I had perceived in my life up until then was once a month the bank statement came and said, here's where you are, and here's what happened last month. And I'd look at that number and I'd go, can I go shopping? Do I have to stay home? Am I in trouble? Am I not in trouble? I don't know. How can I get this right? Am I making sense? That's the mother of all money problems. And we all want to do as much as we can with our money as possible, don't we? And let's face it, we're all pretty much the same. Let's get as much as we can out of it. So it's very tempting to see something and go, oh, that'd be great, that'd be cool. And we're emotional beings, so we make decisions sometimes for emotional reasons, not logical reasons. So it's easy to kind of get caught out. So how do you take the emotions out of it? You put some logic into it and you isolate it into a special safe spot where you can't stuff it up. So here my mortgage is in this safe spot, can't stuff it up, and my wife had a birthday. I went, oh damn, I've got no money for my wife's birthday. And I thought, this isn't happening next year. So I added it to my calendar. I figured that's something I know is going to happen. You see where I'm going here? So I chose an amount, put the date in, put the amount. It was all done with a calendar and a calculator in those days. So 2 hours later, I worked it all out. And then I thought, oh, the car rego is nearly due. I could put that in there too. And I started to see all of these things were so predictable in my life that I could get in control of. And I've got this motto that says, you should write this down, control what is controllable and the uncontrollable stuff won't bring you unstuck. Control what is controllable and the uncontrollable stuff won't bring you unstuck. When everything's out of control, life is just a mess. And something comes along that you didn't expect, and suddenly it's like, game over. My daughter emailed me from Canada in July 2001 and said, hey, I'm getting married on the 1st of September, would you like to come to the wedding? I didn't have $10,000 in my budget to go to Canada for my daughter's wedding. But because my affairs were in order and my budget, I called it in those days, was going good, I worked out how I could get the 10 grand and pay it off and go to the wedding. So life throws these things at you. But when you've got control of what's controllable, the uncontrollable, unexpected, out of the blue kind of stuff becomes so much easier to manage. And you imagine telling somebody a little story like that, and they're just thinking about the fridge that just blew up and now the credit card's maxed out, and you're going, we're going to take control of what's controllable so this kind of thing won't happen again, and they're going, that's what I want. I never want to have this happen again. Do you get what I'm saying? So you just got to see the pearls, the beauty in what we're doing for people, because it's easy to look at something and go, oh yeah, that's great, and not actually see the diamonds and the gold nuggets that are in there. It's easy to take for granted the power that's here and just take it for granted. Other people don't know about what you know. So you've kind of got to go, okay, let's really think about it. What are the things that will make people go, wow, I want that? that's, you'll have your own story to tell. It won't be my daughter's wedding, but it'll be something that you can bring up and say, hey. Or it could be something that just happened in their life. They've contacted you because the car and the fridge blew up in the same week. Yeah, you know what? It's never going to happen again. Because we're going to take control of what's controllable. What are the six kind of expenses that people endure in their life? You guys know them all. What are they? Number one? Weekly living expenses. Food, fun, fuel and incidentals. The second one? Bills. Okay, we all know the bills. What's the third one? When you left home, did you have a fridge and a washing machine and a car and a... Things. You need stuff. Stuff you need and stuff you want. Stuff. Stuff, okay? And then what happened to the car? You needed to get it serviced. You needed to get it repaired. The surfboard got the fin broken off on that rock down at the beach and you had to get it put back on. And there's a cost of everything you buy. You buy stuff, it's not just the cost of buying it, it's the cost of keeping it. The cost of storing it, the cost of it. So there's the maintenance, and then there's the cost of replacement. So now we're up to five. What's the sixth one? Alistair. Once in a lifetime expenses, which is a great big bucket. It could be your son has just finished 2 years at the orthodontist, his teeth are perfect, and he goes out to this rock and roll night, gets in the mosh pit and gets both his front teeth knocked out in this crazy thing. That's what happened to my son. Like, that's just a once in a lifetime thing, you know? You put money aside for unexpected, rubbery, who knows when kind of things. Things are going to happen. And it doesn't take a lot each week to grow a bucket of money that will deal with those things and take the stress away. Now you guys know, especially if you've had customers already, that it isn't possible to put all this stuff in place on day one. But you paint the picture for your clients and say, we're going to use this application, this system, to put a weekly food on the table. And if you get paid monthly, we're going to give you some money every week to go groceries and petrol shopping. How cool is that? Never happened before. I hate this monthly pay thing. I go shopping, I pay all last month's bills on my payday and I'm broke before the month begins. We're going to change all of that. Making sense. So, eventually we're going to have money for food, fuel, fun and incidentals. We're going to have money for bills. We're going to have money for replacing things. We're going to have money to buy things, money to repair things, and money for once in a lifetime around the world holiday. You know, we're ongoing in August, for the whole of August, to the UK. And while I'm there, guess what we're going to do? We're going to train some spending planners. But it's actually a working holiday. Yeah. How did I get to do that? Because I've been putting money away for once-in-a-lifetime things. Okay? It doesn't happen if you don't make it happen. All right, I'm supposed to be doing the software demo and I've got 10 minutes to finish it.
So, David, it says, you know how in like version 2 you've got the thing where it then predicts how much you really need to have in your account to start with?
The answer to your question is no. We will probably put in here shortly, if it sees that you haven't got enough to go, like, suggest a deposit. But I realise that some of the things that confuse people the most in my previous versions of my software was where I was trying to be smart to help them. And they're going, where did that number come from? Or what does that mean? So I go, you know what? Anybody can look at a graph and see red and go, that's bad. I need to change it. I figured that's the lowest common denominator. So here, back to my question, I can put in 461 as the starting balance, or I can increase the deposit. So if I go to transactions, how much would I make it? Simple maths tells you two deposits and I need $1,000, therefore, if I make it 500, I'm just waiting for it. Did I click that button? Have I still got internet? Yes? Well, let's go over here. Anyway, you guys all know what's going to happen. It's going to balance itself out. I think I've timed out. be good if I wasn't fumble fingers, wouldn't it? I think I ran out of time on my login. I didn't anticipate that. Da 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 da, we're back. Okay, apparently the Wi-Fi here has a timeout. I just learnt that. Oh, and I just signed out. I thought I had to sign in. What I want you guys to be doing between this session and the next session is writing on a piece of paper any questions you have relating to software, so that in the next session Nick and I can look at them all and answer the ones that need answering. Okay, so while you're waiting for me, if you've got questions, write them on paper. So we all know how to add transactions, I would imagine. We all know how to set up transfers to your food, fun, fuel and incidentals account. I would suggest with that, if your clients want to itemize groceries and petrol and entertainment and whatever, it's going to be a weekly amount. Don't let them go, oh, once a month we're going to go to the movie, so we'll put that in our FFFI account. Why wouldn't you put once a month expense into your FFFI account? It won't be there, because they're going to spend all that money every week. That's the rule. The other rule is there's not allowed to be any automatic deductions or payments from that account. The money goes in, it's there until they take it out and go shopping. So they can't go, oh, that's right, the internet payment came out of there. It doesn't work at all. But once a month at the movies, where would that go? In the bills account. I would say it goes in the bills account, the main account. Now, there's one thing that I want to clear up, and I'll either do it before we have a break or after, but I've seen people ask, what's the difference between a transfer and an expense transfer, and where does savings fit into all of that? And I actually wrote a paper yesterday, which I'll put up on the, the Resources Centre, which explains in detail and gives an example, but you guys are here, so let's firsthand cover off on that. First of all, there's really no difference. I see savings as an expense. I really do. You go, I'm going to save $30 a week. It's an expense to your income. It's going to go over there, and one day you are going to spend it. So it's an expense. But for those of you that like to see it as savings, we actually have the option where you can put in a transaction and call it savings. And it really is an expense, but it gets its own little bar on the bar graph. But it transfers money from your bills account to another account that you nominate. Now, I'm actually a bit short on for accounts to send money to at the moment, so I'll go and add one. Oh, I guess I could have used a FFFI, but let's get one called UK Holiday. That'd be a good idea, wouldn't it? That's where Morgan is right now, isn't she? It's a bank account, I'm going to call it, yeah, bank account. Fine. Done. Everybody understand what these boxes here are for? These two tick boxes? So if I untick that, the transactions that go in this account won't be displayed on the calendar that's for everything. It can have its own calendar, but it won't be included on the overall calendar for everything. And if I untick that one, on my pie graphs and my bar graphs, whatever happens in this account won't register on those graphs. Okay? That's what those tick boxes are for. You want to hide it from your husband? Well, actually, I'm about to give you an example that might actually make sense. So, I'm saving up for a holiday. how do I put the money into that account? I could go to my bills account, set up a transaction, and call it savings. So this is going to be I'm not the world's best typer, by the way. Holiday, beautiful. And it's savings. It's going to my UK holiday account. It's $50. It's weekly. Category will be leisure. Starting on payday, which I think I said was the 18th. Last date, I could probably calculate when I'm going on the holiday, but let's not worry about that right now. Now got a new transaction. If I go to the dashboard, I'm now short by $2,600 a year because the only income I told that I had was just enough to cover my mortgage. I'm going to have to go in and tell that there's more income. But there's my savings, and if I go down and have a look on my UK holiday account, it shows the deposits coming in. Okay, so it's actually taken the money out of my available pool and told me I don't have enough income for it, go and work harder. Does that work for me? Yeah, it probably does, because I know that the money's not available anymore. What would happen, pardon me, if I put that transaction in as a transfer? It wouldn't show up there because a transfer, no money is being saved or spent. No money's coming in, no money's going out. So if I set it up as a transfer, I could easily be tricked into or confused and think, oh, I've still got $50 a week that I could allocate to something, when in fact I've already allocated. So a transfer, it's invisible on the graph. The money's coming in here, moving over to there, but it didn't change my position. So then there's an expense transfer. What does an expense transfer do? Well, it does what a transfer does, but it registers it on the graph as an expense. So it tells me that money's no longer available to be spent on magazines or copies or whatever. Okay? And then, so the transfer, you'll transfer the money from your bills account to your FFFI account, and then in that account you'll put in groceries, petrol, blah 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 blah. So you'll put the expenses in out of that account, which will then put them onto the graph. That make sense? So really the decision, do I make this a savings or do I make it an expense transfer, are the two best options. Why would the transfer option not be a good one? Because it doesn't show up that the money's gone. So I can choose to make it a savings transaction or I can choose to make it an expense transfer. Either way, it will show up on the graph. Which is the best? Whichever you prefer. Whatever you do though, do not go in and put holiday $10,000 2 years from now as a this time only transaction, because then it's going to go, oh, we've got a $10,000 holiday to pay for in the next 12 months, even though you put it 2 years in the future, it only looks 12 months, and it's going to triple up because you've paid for it once as an savings or an expense transfer, and now you're paying for it again. So don't put in the expense until you're within QE of getting there. And if you do put it in as an expense, then you've got to take it out and put it in as a transfer. Okay, if that's not making sense, we're having a break now. When we come back, we'll clarify it. But I'm sure you've got other questions, so we're going to have a Q&A session after the break. What time are we going to be back? 20 past. All right, before we go, what did we learn? Anything?
Yes.
I hope so. What did you get out of that session?
Yours is really fast.
Sorry?
Yours is really fast.
Mine's really fast.
Yeah.
My internet?
Yeah.
Why is yours slow?
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Mine's super fast. Mine's faster.
Okay. At the start of the session, what did we talk? What did I talk about? Starting your own business and tenacity and getting excited, and you need to get excited or you're going to lose steam, and setting you need to set your goals, you need to hook up with other people to keep the flame going, control the uncontrolled. There's a whole bunch of stuff in there, isn't there? 1 minute, turn to the person beside you and tell them what you got most out of that session.